Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the board. We've just finished a couple, one in Pittsburgh, the Monday Night Impact. It was a special edition due to Memorial Day. Then we came back with the Breaking It Down podcast. Ken Levine, 30 years, announcing baseball games with the Orioles, Mariners, Padres, and Emmy Award winner with TV, just name a few. And now we find ourselves in Cleveland, Ohio, the show that's been picking up steam. These two guys are peanut butter and jelly. They go together. I'm telling you, man. I don't want to say Adam and Eve because God created that, but, man, these guys have just synchronized what a sports show is all about, what American history is all about, and, boy, every 2 weeks, so blessed to produce it. It's the American History Podcast, live from Cleveland, Ohio. My brother, a mentor, and a friend, Peter Ray, 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Peter, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, you bring the guy in again, and every 2 weeks we seem to really blow the airwaves through Ohio.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Ray, R-E-A, and you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played in the NBA from 1980 to 1995 with the Seattle Supersonics, San Diego Clippers, L.A. Clippers, Dallas Mavericks, New York Knicks, and Utah Jazz. He's the author of two books, Standing Above the Crowd, Execute Your Game Plan to Become the Best You Can Be, and Celebrating Your Gift of Life from the Verge of Suicide to a Life of Purpose and Joy. He has a podcast every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, Standing Above the Crowd. In the last 3 weeks, he's had Bill Cartwright, Earl Monroe, Sam Perkins, three NBA legends. For the 18th time, welcome to the show, Mr. James Donaldson.
Hey, Peter. Hey, great to be here. I love the way you keep track of how many times we're doing this. You know, I just have it on my calendar every couple of weeks to pop on here with you. But thank you so much. It's great to be back. And we got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, would you like to talk about your recent three guests on your podcast?
Well, thank you for that. You know, I'm hoping we have some crossover listeners. Matter of fact, when I'm doing my podcast, our producer, Mark Mancini, is shooting me a lot of text messages and people who are calling in. A lot of them are referencing this show, your show from Cleveland, and you and me. So there are some crossover listeners. Hopefully we can keep on growing that base. But, yeah, you know, hey, all I'm doing is just reaching out to guys that I know over the years, personal friends. You know, I've got quite a list of them, and I've been one of those guys who just has befriended quite a few people, and they've befriended me, and I like to stay in touch with them as well. So, you know, we're talking about Bill Cartwright, who I grew up with down in Sacramento, California. You know, and he was all basketball, all everything from fourth grade on at least. And we met my senior year in high school when I played my first officially organized basketball game was when I was a senior against Bill Cartwright. We played them twice. They went undefeated as he did just about every year he was in high school and won the Metro Conference. But it was my first dalliance into the world of sports and basketball in particular competitively. And then, you know, following up by, you know, Jack Sikma, who was a great teammate of mine and great mentor, still a great friend up in the Seattle area. And then last weekend was Sam Perkins, who I was a teammate with the Dallas Mavericks for 5 or 6 years in Dallas. We were on the team that went to the 1988 Western Conference Finals and ended up losing the seventh game to the Showtime Lakers. But we had a lot of great experiences, a lot of great talent, and a lot of great memories from those Dallas teams. So those are just three of the guests. But I had breakfast this morning with Coach Lenny Wilkins, who I do have breakfast with every couple of weeks or a couple of months. And he was my first guest to start us off way back in January. So I stay in touch with all the guys, and all of them are very happy to do it when I call them up. And, you know, I'll have another great guest this coming Saturday. So tune in 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Standing Above the Crowd with James Donaldson. Same call-in number as we're using for your show. And Mark Mancini will be the man behind the panels, the wizard, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, making it all happen.
Adam from McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Thank you for being here every 2 weeks, James and Peter. Last week I was down in the dumps because you were not on live. Sorry about that. Sorry, we had a technical difficulty last week, Adam.
We did, you know. But, you know, I'm thinking the last couple of weeks, Peter, it's just been horrific what's been happening in our society. And, you know, our young men, our young boys are just out of control and just wayward and with no direction, no sense of purpose, no reverence for life. You know, I'm talking about the two shootings, one in Buffalo, one down in Uvalde, Texas. And just the senselessness of all of this, if they would just reach out for help and not take other lives with them, this world would be such a better place. But for some reason, they're obviously disturbed. I don't like to call them monsters or demean them or, you know, make them inhumane. I know they're just human beings like you and I, and by God's grace, there go us, you know, if we're not careful. But they need help, and all of our young people need help out there, and I hope that we can keep on providing it for them.
Yeah, you know, we live in a world where we have to provide for our material needs, we have to work and so forth, and then it just shows, I think, that there is a spiritual component, and that, you know, there is so much unhappiness and anger, and I know that God exists, and we have to, if we make contact with God through whatever spiritual path we are, we can find joy. And the more people do that, we can really help people who need help. Because you can see a lot of the people in the healthcare field, mental health care field, they themselves aren't doing that well. So they're working, they do their best. I know that God exists, and so everything's going to be okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, matter of fact, last week after the shooting in Texas, I posted on Facebook a little nursery rhyme we all grew up with. Mary had a little lamb, and it's all about bringing the lamb, Jesus Christ, back into school. And whether it's Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or Muslims, Islam religions, whatever, we need to have people have a sense of reverence and appreciation that there's something greater than themselves out there in this universe that we can all strive to be like, you know. And I'm gonna read you a short portion of the poem, but it's bringing the lamb back into school. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. He followed her to school one day. 'Twasn't even in the rules. It made the children laugh and play to have a lamb at school. Then all the rules changed one day. Illegal it became to bring the Lamb of God to school or even speak his name. Every day got worse and worse, and days turned into years. Instead of hearing children laugh, we heard gunshots and tears. What must we do to stop the crimes that's in schools today? Let's let the lamb come back to school and teach the kids to pray. You know, and I posted that up, and I said, hey, maybe this is a beginning. It's not the answer of everything, but at least it's a beginning.
Yeah, it's God's always, you know, he hasn't gone anywhere. It's up, but we're the ones that have to reach out to him. He's always reaching out to us. It's just that we're not very often receptive. We ignore him. Ray from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Hi, James. Great interview with Sam Perkins. Peter, what a finishing touch you put on Cleveland.
Yeah, thanks about that. Yeah, Sam's always been a great guy. Great. He's one of my favorite teammates and favorite friends from my NBA days. I don't have a lot of real close personal friends I can call from my NBA days, but Sam is one of those guys, and he was right there. He was more than happy to do it, and it turned out to be a great interview. Thank you.
Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Guys, you're right on. Memorial Day shootings yesterday, Easter shootings. Unbelievable what's going on in our society today.
Yes, yes, yes. Again, I think it's a lack of appreciation for life, and that all life is valuable. All these lives matter, you know, and we become so divided, so divisive, so partisan. Our political leaders don't help matters any. So we have to take it upon ourselves. And this is what me and Lenny Wilkins were talking about this morning. You know, we're sitting around trying to solve all the world's problems, but we realize at the end of the conversation, you know, we still have hope, and we can still do the best that we can do individually. And that's where you start, individually, for each and every person.
Well, that's the thing, is when sometimes things, we think we can live without God and we're just busy doing things, but and then when life gets hard as individuals or even as countries or the whole world, then people do turn to God, and then things get better. So that's the good thing about hardships, because then we get on, we'll really get on the right road. If we turn to God, He will guide us to do the right thing, which is what we right. And He loves us, so that will be a happy life. A life,
and so
he's not going to misguide us. It's Satan's the one who's always misguiding us to do the wrong thing. We have to turn away from him. But God is real, and He created us. Satan didn't create us; God created us. So we have there's greatness in every human being as God's children.
Yes.
So that greatness will manifest in all of us as time passes, as we become open to God and His will.
Mm-hmm. And I believe God's always speaking to us. He's always showing us and reminding us that He is in control. You know, we're studying now these recent UFO phenomenons that all these airline pilots and Navy pilots have been identifying, or at least trying to figure out what they are. And I think it's God's way of showing us that, hey, you human beings, you don't know everything. Matter of fact, you know so few things. I am in control, God says. This is my universe. I created these UFOs that are flying around and you're catching a glimpse of every now and then. And I'll reveal more and more about that as time goes on. But if we would just humble ourselves and realize that we are not in control, God is in control, this would be such a better world.
Yeah, and I think He speaks to us through our conscience, and people often ignore their conscience, you know. And the thing is, you're right, it's humility, it's pride. Pride is the thing that really hurts us, because then we think, oh, I don't need God, I can handle everything, only weak. But no, we're all going to be humbled by life, so why go so far down? And we all need help, and God will give us all the help we need if we turn to Him.
Yeah.
And from Huntington Beach, I listen to a lot of shows across this platform, James and Peter. You give us hope that we can accomplish anything. Love your positive vibes. This show is what everybody should hear on loudspeakers through cities.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much, Ann. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm all about. That's what Peter's all about. Mark Mancini, I mean, we're all very positive, optimistic kind of guys. We see life as, you know, the glass half full, and we can keep adding to it to make it a better and better life. You know, and then of course me with my mental health background and mental health work that I do, I'm always encouraging people to hang in there no matter what. There is a tomorrow. There's a better day coming. There is a God, but we have to just keep those things in mind.
Rochelle from Arlington, Texas. Hi, James. I called on Saturday with the green jerseys that you used to wear in Dallas. About the shootings here in Texas, a guy can't drink till he is 21, but we can sell him high-powered rifles and ammo at 18. I pray for the gate in this world. God will come back and clean it up. Love the Lamb story, James. This show is the bar.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, you know, our politicians are at work trying to craft some new legislation. It's just going to be a little tweak here and there. I'm all for, you know, making sure that we have a minimum age to buy any kind of firearm. I mean, not just the high-powered AK-15s, but they have to be at least 21 years old. Matter of fact, make it 25 years old. Make these young people wait until they are mature adults. And responsible adults before they can go out and buy a firearm. What's so difficult about that? We still have our Second Amendment, our right to bear arms, but you just have to wait until you're 21 or 25 years old. What's so difficult about that?
Right. Now, continue with your book, Celebrating Your Gifts of Life, From the Verge of Suicide to a Life of Purpose and Joy, Chapter 14, I'm So Glad I Didn't Sneeze. I came up with the title of this chapter based on one of my favorite sermons by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In it, King describes a mentally deranged Negro woman who approached him during a book signing. Suddenly, the woman lunged forward at King and thrust a 4-inch knife blade into his chest. Dr. King had to undergo life-saving emergency surgery. His doctors discovered the blade had come within a 1/4 inch of severing his aortic artery. If that had happened, he would have bled to death on the spot within minutes. His surgical procedure was also so delicate that his doctors told him if he would have sneezed, he surely would have died. As Dr. King recovered in the hospital, he received thousands of cards and letters from well-wishers. One letter was from a young white girl who wrote that she was so glad he hadn't sneezed. These words from Dr. King's sermon reminded me of how precious life is. Sometimes life happens to us. Other times we make life happen. Life constantly shows us over and over how little control we actually have. Yet we do have the freedom to choose to do just about anything we'd like to do. When my life seemed to be hanging on that thin line between should I stay and keep on living or should I end my life, I ultimately chose to stay and keep on living. What would sneezing have looked like? Sneezing would have been acting upon my impulses. Sneezing would have been following through with one of my plans to kill myself. Believe me, there were numerous times when I wanted to sneeze so life would be over, but I'm so glad I didn't sneeze.
Thank you for reading that. And that is one of my favorite parts of the book and one of my favorite parts of Martin Luther King Jr.'s sermons. You know how hard it is to catch a sneeze and prevent yourself from sneezing. I mean, you got to do it early on. You can't wait until it's up into your nasal passages because it's going to come out. And this, you know, we use these antidotes to show that if you act on impulse and it's too late once you take your life to come back, you can't do anything about it. I had to battle those thoughts, those voices in my head that were telling me, go ahead and do it. I mean, you got it all planned out, James. Go ahead and do it. Just kill yourself. Take your life. And I had to battle those voices for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I didn't sneeze. And each and every day I look around. Today is 75 degrees outside. I'm sitting out on the porch with, you know, the neighbors, my dog and my cat and everything else. And just really enjoying God's creation, and I'm so glad I'm still here to do so.
Garrett from Marlborough, Massachusetts. Extensive background checks hold people accountable that sell these guns. Any prediction, Warriors, Celtics?
Well, Derek, I do believe in extensive background checks. We need to make them as difficult and stringent as possible. And again, of course, increasing the minimum age for buying those weapons. I have a sentimental favorite in the finals, and that's the Boston Celtics. You know, they haven't been there in a while. They've been good, but not great. But they battled by Milwaukee. They battled by Miami. Golden State took a couple years off with injuries and COVID and all the rest of those things. But they're back to another appearance in the Western Conference Finals. My sentimental favorite is going to be Boston, and I think the Celtics, even though they're the underdogs, I'm rooting for them to pull it out.
Continuing with your book, Chapter 15, I'm Not a Victim. As a person of color, an African American man, I've lived my life with oppression, prejudice, racism, and not being given an equal opportunity. But I learned early on not to let any of those obstacles turn me into a victim. Society is full of obstacles that can easily have one thinking they're a victim of the circumstances. Yes, it's true, you may have been held back or not given an opportunity. Or it might be flat-out racism and prejudice against you. But we have to do our best to overcome those situations and not become a victim of them. We can and we will overcome if we just keep on persevering and not give up. The year 2020 was filled with all kinds of social and racial unrest. All of us were hurting from the pandemic that affected each and every one of us. A lot of us lost our jobs, and those jobs may never come back. Schools were shut down, and children had to resort to online learning. Our daily routines were disrupted as we had to resort to social distancing and wearing masks. Life as we know it may not return to normal until an actual vaccine is developed and distributed throughout the United States. Even then, we will all have to deal with a new normal. Sometimes life just has a way of throwing you a curveball, and even though you take a swing and miss, the important thing is never to give up.
Yeah, so true, so true. You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we just have to be able to prepare ourselves as best we can to deal with tomorrow and whatever tomorrow brings. Again, it shows us how little control we have in this journey of life. You know, we can control some things, but not the vast majority of things. That continues to show us that God is in control. So we're not really the victim. I know we have a lot of us have a victim mentality that's been perpetuated by the politicians, by the media, by social media. This victim mentality is just all over the place, and you have to just remind yourself that, you know, we are so blessed in this country. I mean, we're 4% of the world's population, but you look around and virtually all of us are making much, much more money than people in second and third world countries, developing countries all around the world. 80% of the world's population would love to be in our shoes. So we are not the victim. We are truly, truly blessed. And the only time we're really victimized is when it's an outright assault or a crime or somebody does something to you against your will, especially physically. But, you know, what happened to the old adage we grew up with, Peter, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, we're in a name-calling society now, and everybody gets offended. And if you offend the wrong people, you'll be canceled out. And that's just not right.
Now, you mentioned the supporting the Celtics. I was just thinking about how the Celtics and Lakers by far have won the most championships. But for the Celtics, it's been a long time. It was 50s, 60s, 70s into the 80s. And since 1986, they've only won one title. And so that's 14. That's 36 years. And one of my favorite lines is from 2008, right after the Celtics won, when Kevin Garnett said, "Anything is possible."
And that's so true, though. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, last weekend, Sam Perkins and I were talking about how we never, ever won in the Boston Garden. That's how difficult. Even though they didn't win a championship every year, they defend their home court better than just about any team in the league. And I played my whole career and never won a game in the Boston Garden, the only arena in the country I never won a basketball game in. But that's great, you know. And so we'll see. Anything is possible. That's why I'm going to tune in and watch the championship round of the games and just really see the games for myself.
David from Louisville, Kentucky, James and Peter's show. Let's sign the petition. You can't graduate unless you finish a course with these guys.
David, thank you, thank you. You know, it's a common sense approach. You know, we don't have philosophy degrees or anything like that. This is all basic common sense stuff that if people would just allow it to be, I just believe our lives and our society would be so much better. And it's not hurtful or discriminatory towards anybody. You know, I want religion back in school. I want all religions to be able to practice in school. Or if nothing else, just take a moment of silence and teach our kids a moment of silence to just think and pray in your own way. You don't have to recite anything out loud. And that will teach our young people a reverence, an appreciation for something greater than them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the best thing is that God hasn't left, and He's always there. And sure, bringing prayer into the schools would be good. But the thing is, we really need everybody to turn to God, and we all can as individuals. And then when we do, our lives will get better, and everything's going to get better because He's always been there, and He'll always be there. And that's to me we never know what's going to happen in life. You'd have no idea, health problems, financial problems, people die, whatever. But it's all okay because all these things, I believe, serve God's purposes. We need to improve our character as we move through life so that we can stay in heaven forever. In my church, we believe in reincarnation. We keep coming back because we haven't become purified. But anyway, so hardships, you know, help us to become good people. And to me, that's success in life, when we really become good people. And so we don't like hardships, but they do serve a purpose.
Peter, I don't know if I've ever really said out loud, but I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about faith and about Christianity and about God and Jesus. I hope our listeners understand and appreciate it as well. Some of them may not, and that's okay, but I hope the vast majority of them really appreciate that we are two men who openly share our faith, openly profess our love for God, and count him as our Savior and our Lord. So I just love the opportunity to do that with you every couple of weeks. I thank you so much for that.
Oh, well, it's just wonderful that we can have these shows and talk about things that are important, I think. And the thing is, God is very patient, and we have to – and he sees the world the way it is, and he feels bad about it. But the thing is – but he's patient, but he never stops. He never stops trying to help us, but that's the thing. We're often not open to his help because of pride, or we're very busy. We don't take time to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't give God time, and we give the world all our time, and then we end up being miserable. And so it's ridiculous, but we don't have to do that. We can give God more time and then really live life better and be better people, and then do his work, and this world can become a wonderful, wonderful place.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wow.
Continuing with your book, now some people are victims of criminal activities, and I fully recognize that. Many of those crimes that are perpetuated against a person are life-altering, and the victim's life will never be the same. Those who suffer that fate are actual victims, and there's no two ways about it. My heart goes out for each and every one of them. However, in today's society, I note that many people seem to think of themselves as victims or resort to playing the victim card. I don't know what causes it, but it's become so easy to just blame someone else for our problems. It's understandable that when your whole world turns upside down, the last person you want to point a finger at is yourself. However, that mindset only exacerbates the distress and despair that accompany mental health challenges. If we think back to the four agreements I discussed in Chapter 12, we will realize we need to be accountable for our own role in our situation. No matter what happens, unless we are forced to do something against our will, upon close examination, we will find that we have a part to play in it. Yes, there are legitimate times when we are a victim, when we are assaulted, raped, robbed, mugged, betrayed, cheated on, or physically, sexually, or emotionally abused, or other instances where people hurt us against our will. We likely had little control in these situations to stop the abusive behavior from happening. These are horrible situations, and the people who experience them are victims in these moments. But once the abusive event is over, we can work toward recovery and no longer feeling like a victim.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And we have to do the work. You know, things don't just heal on their own after a traumatic experience, whether it's being, you know, victimized, like you read off a whole list of things there that people are going to go every single day, or if you're dealing with mental health challenges and those kind of things that I talk about and work with, you have to reach out and get the help. There's trained professionals out there who can help you through each and every one of these situations. But if you think you can just kind of, you know, stuff it under the carpet and act like it was no big deal, sure enough, it's going to raise its ugly head at a time of stress or unease or anxiety. And you're right back where you started from because you haven't done the work to fix the problem and fix yourself. So that's my encouragement to everybody listening out there. If you've been through those traumatic injuries and situations, please get help. Even if it was a decade or two ago, it's still part of you, part of your life journey, and you really need to be able to deal with it in a healthy way.
Well, the time has flown, James. We're almost out of time. Do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
Well, you know, we're just finishing up May. May was Mental Health Awareness Month. I was very busy all through the month, speaking engagements and things like that. Continue, folks. You know, I have my book out there, Celebrating Your Gifts of Life, from the verge of suicide back to a life of purpose and joy, which is exactly what I've been able to do. You can pick up your own signed copy at celebratingyourgiftoflife.com and come back and check in with us again in a couple of weeks. Myself and Peter and Mark Mancini behind the mic, behind the panel. And we'll be sure to give you a lot more of what you've been getting with us through the week. So thank you so much.
Our guest has been Mr. James Donaldson, former NBA player and author of the book Celebrating Your Gift of Life. We'll be back in 2 weeks with James Donaldson, continuing with this discussion. Next week we have Jerry Schultz, who is an author of two books on the NBA, the one on the NBA Cincinnati Royals, who played 1957 to 1972, and another on Hall of Famer, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer Jerry Lucas. And in 2 weeks, we'll have James Donaldson back. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Mr. James Donaldson.
All right. Be blessed. You are loved.
Very good. Wonderful.